Thank you and good morning. For the past several weeks, we have been talking about the importance of Christians practicing counter-cultural thinking. You know, there is the thinking of our culture, but then we have the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. In many cases, the thinking of our Lord goes counter to that of our culture. Counter-cultural thinking, then, is to reconsider the, quote, truths that our culture has taught us and critically consider them. And so for the past few weeks, we have been considering some subjects and comparing what our culture teaches us on those subjects with what our Lord teaches us. And of course, we are encouraging each one to follow the Lord's teaching. Today, I want to talk about the very prevalent idea that truth is relative. Have you ever heard anyone say, "It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you are sincere"? Have you heard one who claims to be a Christian to say this? Well, this is a prevalent view among many in churches today. It doesn't matter what you believe. But Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John 14, verse 6. He also said, "For if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." John 8 and verse 24. And so Jesus taught that it does matter what we believe. Well, why is it that professed followers of Jesus Christ would say, "It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you are sincere"? This view is surely not found in Scripture. Well, it's because of the influence of our culture. We are taught by our culture that truth is relative. We are taught that truth is whatever one may believe to be truth. You know, we're living in an era called postmodernism. Postmodernism tells us that feeling, intuition, personal experience are more important than reason and evidence. So we need to go with how we feel. Postmodernism is the belief that truth is not discovered, but created. It is the belief that truth doesn't exist except as the individual wants it to exist. Michael Patton has written, and I quote, "Surveys are becoming emphatically more clear that the majority of our culture believes that truth is relative. It has been clear for some time now that our world is going through a major cultural shift." He said, "We have moved from a world of absolutes, objectivity, and dogmatism to one of relativism, subjectivism, and tolerance. The greatest commandment in this postmodern society is this: thou shalt tolerate one another." Springing forth from this relativistic epistemology, tolerance has become preeminent. As one writer has put it, tolerance has become so important that no exception is tolerated. A person may have his or her religion and may believe it, but he or she has no right to try to persuade another of his or her belief. Why? Because what you are saying is that your belief is superior to their belief. This is the supreme act of intolerance, the primary postmodern taboo. End of quote. According to a Barna Group survey conducted in 2008, quote, one-third of all adults, 34%, believe that moral truth is absolute and unaffected by the circumstances. End of quote. Well, that means that two-thirds of all adults do not believe in absolute moral truth. The survey also said, and I quote, "Slightly less than half of the born-again adults, 46%, believe in absolute moral truth." End of quote. And so even among those who claim to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, less than half of them believe in absolute moral truth. And so the majority in our culture, even among those who claim to be Christians, have embraced the view that moral truth is relative. And along with this view of relativism comes their idea of tolerance. That is, we should not condemn what other people believe and practice. But what does our Lord say? Well, our Lord says that there is absolute truth, and if we're going to be pleasing to Him, we must accept that truth, and that we must teach that truth to others. We must stand up against and speak out against any belief and practice that is opposed to the truth. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Two things I want you to notice here. First, Jesus acknowledges the existence of truth. And secondly, Jesus says that the truth can be known. Truth exists and truth is knowable. Jesus said when praying to the Father, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." John 17, verse 17. And so the Word of God, the Bible, is truth. The nature of truth means that it is objective. That is, truth is outside of us. It is not created by us. Truth is not something that comes from within us, but something that God gives us. His Word is truth, and it is our responsibility to discover it, to learn it. And we do that by reading God's Word or hearing it read. And Jesus says that we can know the truth. Paul said in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4 that God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. If God desires that we know the truth, surely He has made it possible for us to know it. The key to knowing the truth is honesty of heart. Jesus taught in the parable of the sower that God's Word germinates in the good and honest heart, Luke 8 verse 15. The good and honest heart says, "I want the truth and nothing but the truth, and I will accept it, whatever the consequences may be." The Lord has promised that all who genuinely search for the truth with that good and honest heart will find it. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth." Now, again, truth is objective. In Romans chapter 1, verse 25, Paul says that certain ones exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator. Now notice, there is the truth of God, and there is the lie. There were those who gave up the truth of God for the lie. Well, the choice is ours whether we will accept the truth or the lie. In Romans 2 and verse 8, Paul says, "But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath." Now notice again, there is the truth and there is unrighteousness. Those who are self-seeking do not obey the truth but obey unrighteousness. Well, the choice is ours whether we will obey the truth or obey unrighteousness. Also in 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 through 4, Paul said, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth, and be turned aside to fables." Now notice, there is the truth, the word that is to be preached. There is sound doctrine, and there are fables. Well, the choice is ours. We can heap up for ourselves teachers to teach what we want to hear, that is, fables, or we can accept the truth, the Word of God. We can endure sound doctrine. These passages clearly show that God has given us His Word, the truth, and it is our responsibility to discover the truth and to obey it. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Now notice, there is the will of the Father in heaven. That is the truth. And Jesus says that if one is to enter the kingdom of heaven, he must do the will of the Father. Notice also that Jesus makes reference to lawlessness. Jesus will declare to those who practice lawlessness, "I never knew you. Depart from me." Now, lawlessness implies that there is a law. No one can practice lawlessness without there being a law. This law is the will of the Father in heaven. It is the truth of God. Well, the choice is ours. Will we do the will of the Father, or will we practice lawlessness? This also implies that the law can be known. God would not require us to do His will, practice His law, if we could not know what it is. God has given us His will, His law. It is His Word, the Bible. It is there to be discovered, to be known. If we will seek for it by reading it with good and honest hearts, God has promised that we will find it. And then we must obey it if we are to enter the kingdom of heaven. These passages show clearly that there is absolute truth, and that truth is objective. It is outside of us to be discovered. And these passages show that we can find that truth if we will seek for it with honest and good hearts. Now, we mentioned earlier that many in our culture believe we have no right to try to persuade others of what we have found to be the truth. To do so is what they call intolerance. But our Lord instructs us to teach it to others. Jesus said to His apostles, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Jesus wants the truth that will make us free, to be carried to all the nations. In the book of Acts, we read of the apostles and other disciples preaching the truth, the gospel, wherever they went. A part of their preaching was trying to convince people of the truth they did not have. Some people accepted the truth while others did not. Why do you think that the apostles and early Christians were persecuted? Well, it was because in their preaching the truth, they were exposing the error and sins of the people, and some of the people didn't appreciate it. They didn't like being told that they were wrong. They were not willing to change and accept the truth. Therefore, they tried to stop the mouths of the Christians who were preaching. But these Christians were doing exactly what the Lord had commanded them to do. As we face a world that is constantly moving further from the truth of God, we need to take our stand with the Lord and His Word. We need to be faithful, not just to hold to God's standard, but to call our culture back to it. Paul says in Ephesians 5 and verse 11, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." Now notice, first of all, the Lord tells us to have no fellowship, that is, no participation in the unfruitful works of darkness. We're not to involve ourselves in the sinful practices of the world. But that is not all He says here. He also says, "but rather expose them." This means to shed light on these works of darkness, to exhibit their true nature, their vileness and destructiveness. It is not enough not to participate in the unfruitful works of darkness. We must also speak out against them. We need to be willing to do this even if we suffer for it. This has been the lot of God's children throughout all time. Our culture may shout loudly that evil should be accepted and tolerated, but God's standards remain unchanged. His righteous standards will be enforced, and men will be held accountable. Let us stand for truth and righteousness. Let us practice counter-cultural thinking. Our time is gone for today, and we thank you for listening. If you have a question for our program, we encourage you to send it in. Also, if you would like a free audio CD copy of today's program or of any of our Bible Talk broadcast, then just give us your name and address along with the title of the program you would like a copy of, and we will be glad to send it to you absolutely free of charge. Now, there are three ways that you may send in your questions or make your request. You may email it in. Our email address is sjchurch@fidnet.com. Or you may call it in. Our telephone number is 573-265-8628. Or you may mail it in through the U.S. Postal Service. Our address is Bible Talk, P.O. Box 308, St. James, Missouri, 65559.